Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We have a fun guest coming up. A national writer has predicted that Georgia will win the national championship this year. That's obviously a topic of interest to us around here. We will discuss that coming up here today on today's program. And yes, as you might imagine, for those of you that watch or listen every day, I have been almost fixated like Alex Jones-like with this change the 2020 schedule. I've got some more thoughts on that now that we have seen the full 2020 schedule for the Dogs. We'll deal with that a little bit later on our program. Let me begin, though, with this. I read this online, and I felt like it deserved maybe a little bit of a rebuttal. Not because it makes me mad. I don't get mad about stuff like this, but I just think it's not necessarily the full story. Alex Scarborough, a writer that I like for ESPN.com, has this headline on ESPN.com that there's, his words, no stopping Alabama's wide receivers. You go to ESPN.com, you can read that story for yourself, all about the terrific crop of Alabama wide receivers and how there's no stopping them this year. He means that figuratively, and he's probably exaggerating to make a point, but nonetheless, those two words, no stopping, kind of got me thinking. Well, gosh, what's the point of Georgia even fielding up and suiting up a team this year? If there's truly no stopping the Alabama wide receivers, and admittedly, that's a really impressive group. It was impressive in 2017. We all know how that season ended. You had Jalen Waddle in the mix in 2018. He was a load to deal with in the SEC championship game a year ago. So, gosh, if there's no stopping the Alabama wide receivers, then we might as well, with the 2020 schedule being released, we might as well just look ahead to that year when some of these guys are maybe hopefully gone to the NFL or whatever else. What's the point of playing here in 2019? And now I'm the one that's also exaggerating to make a point, because I believe that maybe there actually might be some stopping of the Alabama receivers this year. And frankly, I think the Georgia defensive backs might be just the unit to get that done, because here's the one thing that I continue to notice. I believe that Kirby Smart actually feels pretty good about the current state of this group. And that flies against what the national media might typically assume is true, because for the most part, you know, guy who writes for major website, guy who writes for big preseason magazine, you know, anything from kind of that old guard of sports writer, there's pretty much the assumption of returning starters mean greatness, and the absence of a big-time returning starter means there could be a huge problem. DeAndre Baker won the Thorpe Award for 2018. Now he's gone to the NFL. He plays the New York Giants, and the obvious storyline is, well, Georgia's going to have all kinds of problems figuring out a way to replace him. And to be honest, I actually started the spring thinking that might indeed be the case, but over the course of that time, my opinion of this evolved because of the things that Kirby Smart said about his secondary. So keep this in mind as we talk about these supposed unstoppable Alabama wide receivers, that just this week alone, Kirby Smart was asked a question that somehow goes kind of like this. Hey, I know you're having to revamp your secondary with DeAndre Baker not being there. And Smart essentially stopped that question and said, my perspective of the secondary is apparently far different than some in the media. Here is what Smart said on Friday.
You'd say revamped. I wouldn't say revamped. I feel like we've got a lot of guys coming back that have played a lot of snaps. And I'm excited about those guys. I mean, when you look at it, the group that we went out with there in the bowl game with is the group we're playing with now. So a lot of those guys have gained experience. We've got some really good competition in that room. So I'm excited about those guys. They're a year older. You know, we were really young, I felt like, last year in the secondary and new. And this year we've got some more experienced players, and best players are going to get to play. And the guys that kind of buy into the principles and values, they're going to be the guys that play for us.
So most of y'all have obviously been around, heard just about everything that Kirby Smart has said about any Georgia player, any Georgia position group. And here's the thing that you already know without me telling you. Kirby Smart does not throw compliments around lightly. First of all, because people like me who kind of have a little bit too much of a hyperbole gene in them probably anyway, people like me just take that stuff and run with it. I mean, so Kirby Smart's always going to be careful about the kind of compliments that he throws around, because he knows how, you know, the average fan, the average media member is going to respond to that kind of stuff. So when Kirby Smart says, listen, I don't want this secondary called revamped. I actually feel really good about the experience these guys have gained. Some of that was over the course of a year, like Tyson Campbell, who very well may be a starter. Some of that was short-term near the end of last year, like Devod Wilson, who got a chance to play a lot in the Sugar Bowl. Some of that was Eric Stokes, who stepped in second half half of the year and kind of became the starter. Kirby Smart says, I actually feel pretty good about the experience we had, and all of these guys, including DJ Daniel and Tyreek Stevenson, they all got a chance to go through spring practice. So I had my hands on them even back then, and I've been at these practices and I've seen that. Kirby Smart is among the more active coaches on this Georgia coaching roster. This is not the 1970s where Bear Bryant sat up on some tower 50 feet in the air looking down on practice. Kirby Smart is, what was the word that Lanning used the other day, encouraging folks. Kirby Smart's doing a lot of hand-on-hand encouragement with these defensive backs, and I think he's pretty happy with the way that he's kind of coaching these guys up right now. Which sort of leads me back to the ESPN story that I mentioned before about the Alabama wide receivers. Part of the reason why the writer here says this group may be, his word, no stopping, unstoppable this year, is the way in which they're described by Xavier McKinney, a really good Alabama defensive back. He, over again in this interview with Scarborough, the ESPN writer, talks about how super fast all these guys are. And we know that. Judy is a blazer. I mentioned Waddle before. He's probably the fastest of the group, to say nothing of Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith. This is a super, super fast Alabama wide receiving core. And for most teams in the country, it's going to be overwhelming speed. But for Georgia, that might not necessarily be the case. Let me take you back to the spring for a moment. As I said before, it was during those spring practices that my opinion of the Georgia secondary started to evolve. Initially concern. Boy, replacing DeAndre Baker, that might prove to be as hard as replacing Roquan Smith was after the 2017 season. But Smart's own words convinced me different. So we just heard an Alabama player talking about how super fast the Alabama wide receiver core is. Well, listen to Kirby Smart evaluating these guys back in the spring, saying, here's the one thing I know about my group right now as well, Kirby again.
We've had a good spring. I don't know if that's a credit to the young secondary or whether that's a lack of depth at receiver. Probably didn't have our best day today. We gave up some plays on the back end, more than we did the last week. But those kids grow. They're growing. What you know is we've got what we're going to have. There's nobody else coming. So it's very unique that we have depth and we're able to move people around and try to figure out the best parts. And, you're really trying to get the guys that don't know what they're doing to be able to do that. There's a few guys that have played a lot of snaps here with the likes of Stokes and Tyson and JR and even Richard. Those four guys played a lot of snaps. So we're trying to get those other guys ready to go play. And the good thing is they're here to get these reps. I think that's going to pay off for us in the fall. I think we have the potential to have a very fast secondary. I don't know how instinctive we are yet. I don't know how great we are at playing the ball, but we do have some speed back there.
Did you hear those words there at the end? Fast secondary, we've got some speed, and he doesn't mean a mere speed, although speed is a part of the secondary group right now. He means a descriptor of speed for a lot of these guys. So ESPN touts the Alabama receivers how fast they are. Kirby Smart, quiet as kept, says, you know what, I feel pretty good about my group here too. Even back during the spring, you look at a Tyson Campbell who may be blossoming. You look at some of the incoming freshmen like a Tyreek Stevenson. You look at what some of these guys do, and Kirby Smart says, I feel like my guys can run because that's why I recruited them. I recruited them to run alongside these Alabama receivers and potentially a matchup with guys like Justin Ross and T. Higgins for Clemson, were you to get that point in the college football playoff. And with that said, let me kind of transition this conversation just for a moment, because I think for me, this is more than just what could be a one-year battle or a one-game battle where the Dogs and the Tide to meet back up again in the SEC championship of the college football playoff. I think one of the unspoken narratives in recruiting right now is that as much as we talk about the lines of scrimmage and we know how important those are, it's really how good you are in your defensive secondary to match up against these top flight receivers that all the national championship contenders seem to be stockpiling right now. That goes a long way to determining your ability to compete with national championships over the long haul. And that's one of the reasons why I think Georgia has been so motivated to add as many top flight defensive backs as it can. In 2020, huge target for a guy like Keely Ringo, the Dogs hope to get, Jalen Kimber, who's already in the fold, and Jeff Sintel gave us a surprise yesterday on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger about maybe another big-time defensive back, maybe suddenly being in the mix with Georgia because of a friendship. It was a surprise to me to hear Jeff say this, but it also kind of makes sense given the context I just provided of big, fast defensive backs running with the nation's best wide receivers. Here's Jeff from yesterday.
Wouldn't be shocked at all if Elias Ricks takes an official visit to Georgia. Of course, there's a great kinship there with Kendall Milton, the five-star running back. If some fashion Georgia was able to end up with Elias Ricks in the signing class, when all of a sudden all those mock-ups and mock classes that go from six or seven five-stars might elevate by one more, but Big picture there would be Kelee Ringo, potentially, Elias Ricks, potentially, nation's number two corner, and also Jalen Kibber, who's the number five cornerback in the country for 2020. And those are possibilities now for this Georgia recruiting staff.
So listen, let me bottom line this really quick. I don't know if Georgia is going to get Elias Ricks. It sounds like Jeff's got some pretty good sourcing on this. He wouldn't mention if it wasn't a strong possibility. It seems like a pretty big recruiting upset for me were that to happen, but I get where Jeff is coming from. On yesterday's show, he went on to say, if you want to battle the Alabamas and the Clemsons, that's what you do. You got to be great at every position, but right now in particular, it might be defensive back as much as anything else. Sounds like Kirby Smart feels like he's got a pretty good group in place for 2019. And he's working on putting an even deeper and better group together for 2020 and beyond. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. My name is Brandon Adams, and I'm really glad to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us today. Let me give you a taste of what's coming up on our program later on. We'll hear from our buddy John Stinchcomb as a part of our continuing series of how Georgia can own the East and a whole lot more this season, courtesy of our friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union. We'll look at the quarterback situation behind Jake Fromm and that discussion today. Hope you'll stick around for that. Also in a moment, we'll talk to our buddy Barrett Salee from CBSSports.com. Barrett has predicted Georgia to win the national championship, and we'll find out from him exactly how he thinks that's going to take place and get a little bit more detail from him on the path he thinks the Dogs will travel down to get to that point. Fun to have Barrett Salee back on the program from CBS Sports. We'll do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. For now, though, let's go around the doghouse, presented today by my friends at Online Trading Academy. And there was a big piece of news yesterday for Georgia involving the 2020 season, despite the fact the 2019 season hasn't even kicked off yet. We got the schedule. We've known for a while this was going to be a little bit of a different schedule for Georgia. We found out yesterday just how different it's going to be. I think for our folks watching on video, we can throw this up here. Headlines, Georgia plays a game on a Monday night to start the season against Virginia. Dogs haven't done that a ton over the course of years because Monday night's not typically a college football night. Georgia travels to Alabama for the first time since 2007. They'll do that early September. That's the SEC opener here. Asman had talked about a lot. The Auburn game is now no longer a November tradition for Georgia. That's now October 10th. That means in its place in the month of November, you've got Tennessee. I almost said 14th ranked Tennessee, but it's the date that they're playing, November 14th. I can confuse myself with my own graphic, apparently. It'd be quite a story if Tennessee's 14th in the country next season. But nonetheless, I guess it's at least some sort of possibility. And for those of you with young kids, this is not great news. For the first time in a while, the cocktail party does rotate back to on October 31st. So I'm going to be sleeping on the couch for about a month after my wife has to do Halloween without me next year. But that's kind of the story on that. However, the big issue becomes what's going to go on with the Auburn game and the move up. And y'all know I've had a little bit of a problem with this. Let me remind you what Greg McGarrity said about this. I was going to play some Kirby audio. We'll just save this for McGarrity right now. Let me remind you what McGarrity said when I questioned him about why Georgia was willing to go along with the change for Auburn. Here is what McGarrity said at the time when I had a chance to discuss this with him.
Well, I think once the schedules are announced, a lot of questions will be answered. I would just say be careful what you wish for in some situations because we know what the schedules look like. Okay. We've seen it. So some school may want to do X, Y, or Z. Well, there are a lot of unintended consequences with that because it's not to where one school has an advantage. Mm-hmm. I think once it's announced that I know there's some concern about tradition in the time. Mm-hmm. The segment of time in there, but if that game's at a different time for us and it works and Kirby's comfortable with it, you know, we're okay with it.
So listen, I know there's some Georgia fans who are laughing now at Auburn here because what they thought, at least in the minds of some Georgia fans, was a trade with Georgia to make things easier has made things about the same because now Auburn's going to play LSU at least in 2020 ahead of playing Alabama. And I think that's just the wrong impression, the wrong way of looking at this. Auburn got exactly what it wanted. It knew it'd play somebody tough. It's an SEC schedule, by all means. What Auburn did not want were the two big road games in November, and they don't have that anymore. By comparison, even looking at this 2020 schedule, which is not necessarily bad, it's just different, but when you look at the trade that Georgia made with Auburn, for me, it's still hard to know what Georgia got out of this, because next year the Tennessee game is a home game. But in 2021, it's going to be a road game again, and by that time, Tennessee could be a much better team, and all of a sudden, the Georgia schedule doesn't quite feel quite as relieved there in the month of November. I think there is still a lot that needs to be done to explain what Georgia's cooperation in all of this was all about, because so far, I'm not quite getting this, but I know there'll be plenty of talk about that coming up in the months to come. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Online Trading Academy. I'll invite you to make the best decision you can make, the decision to invest in yourself by learning how the markets work. That's both in the classroom and online. That's what Online Trading Academy provides across a spectrum of trading styles and a variety of asset classes. We all want more money. Learning how to make the markets work for you is the way to get that money. So please check out Online Trading Academy online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's trading with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. All right, we've got John Stinchcomb as part of Own the East later on. For now, though, for more on the 2020 Georgia schedule and how the Dogs could win the national championship in 2019, let's talk to our buddy Barrett Salee. CBS Sports is where you can find his written work on Twitter, at Barrett Salee, always active. And a part of the college football conversation is where you can find him on Twitter there. It is Barrett Salee from CBS Sports back here today on Dog Nation Daily. And Barrett, we certainly appreciate your time, and I'm sure you're like me. You know, all of those kind of final quarter polls have been turned around. It really feels like we're staring the start of the college football season square in the face. I'm certainly excited about that, and I'm sure that you are as well.
Yeah, I am. And first things first, BA, congratulations on your 1,000th show. I mean, you and I have been friends for a very long time, and for you to find a way to do what you love and do it every single day and do it as well as you do, better than anybody else in the country, I'm really happy for you, man. Like, this is it's been a great show, and more to come for sure. Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's real now, you know, because the weird thing is, BA, and I was thinking about this, I'm going to Orlando to cover the Miami-Florida game, which is week zero. Everybody else already has two bye weeks built in, and the national championship game is 2.5 weeks after the semifinals.
Yeah.
This is one hell of a long football season, man. Like, it is going to be so much fun, and yeah, there's really nothing to hold us back at this point. The only thing that comes out between now and the start of the season are quarterback decisions and injuries, and hopefully the latter does not happen to any team that you follow.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And first of all, thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate that. And I'll return the favor by saying, you know, if you go back and look at 2017, you were kind of the national media anyway, kind of first through the door on expecting big things from Kirby Smart. You correctly picked the SEC that year, including Georgia beating Auburn in the SEC championship, and you've kind of doubled down on that prediction for 2019. If people go and see your Twitter account, at Barrett Salee, you've got Georgia winning the national championship, so I can say that for most of my audience, that's exactly where they'd want us to start our conversation. So give me a little bit of a thumbnail sketch, if you don't mind, about how you think all this goes down for Georgia this year, what you like about them and what you might have a little bit of a concern about that might make you at least consider second-guessing your opinion.
Well, obviously the linebacking core with what happened with Britton Cox is something to at least be concerned about, although I do think that there are plenty of guys on that roster, some who have played, some who haven't, that will be able to fill those shoes just fine, especially considering there are three games to sort of get comfortable before Notre Dame comes into town. So, yeah, I mean, that would be the concern. But, I mean, let's be honest, like, the recruiting that Kirby Smart has done, really just taking it up three or four levels from what Mark Richt did, which Mark Richt was good, not great. Georgia is Alabama and Clemson. They are a team right now that can just throw somebody else out there and have as much success as they had before. Bud Elliott, who works for SB Nation, mm-hmm. And that new site, the Banner Society, came out with the blue chip rankings. Came out today, in fact. And it's a really good look as to which teams have the talent to win a national championship based on recruiting rankings and overall team talent. And Georgia's third behind Clemson and Alabama, and they're a whole hell of a lot closer to third. To second than they are to fourth, which is LSU. So that tells me what something that I've been saying a long time ago is that, you know, there is Georgia is in that tier with Georgia and Clemson. It just doesn't have the title yet, so it's trailing a little bit behind, but only a little bit. So, I mean, the way it's going to work out to me, I mean, who's going to beat Georgia on its roster? Yeah. I mean, I just I don't see a team that's going to do it. I mean, Notre Dame's going to be good. I think the best team that they face will be Notre Dame. And I know folks are always polarized on the Irish, and they either love them or hate them. But the truth of the matter is they're still probably a 10-win team. They're still pretty darn good. And so get past that, and I think they will. Where the loss is coming from, there aren't any. So the way I have it figured out, and you can see the video pinned to the top of my Twitter page where we break it down, I've got Georgia and Alabama both undefeated in Atlanta. Alabama beating Georgia, going into the playoff as the number two seed behind Clemson. Number three, Ohio State, and then four, Georgia. Because when I do this, BA, I kind of get those helmet schedules, and I kind of mark win, mark loss, because I don't want to give, you know, two teams a win in the same game, or two, or whatever. So the way I had it worked out, there were no other one or no loss teams in Power 5 football. So by virtue of how I had it worked out, Georgia was the only option to get in at the fourth spot. And like I said, the talent is there. The coaching is there. I think Kirby Smart needs to learn from some of his mistakes because he doesn't really know when to go for that home run ball as a coach, make that one decision that will turn the tide and really dictate the game. And he will find that eventually, and I think it happens this year.
So that's really interesting. There's a lot to unpack from that. The thing I'm going to focus on for a moment is what makes your prediction different than some of the other media is the fact that you've got Georgia winning it all, but obviously you're not the only one that will have Georgia as a second SEC team going into the playoff with Alabama. And the thing that I've been skeptical about a little bit, Barrett, is if Georgia could get the same benefit of the doubt that Alabama got in 2017. Alabama, to its credit, won national championships. They've got a national brand. They've been in every playoff. Georgia's only been in the playoff up to this point one time. So I'm kind of the belief that if Georgia is going to be in the playoff and win it all, they're actually going to have to vanquish Alabama, or it could be LSU. That's been, you know, kind of my suggestion. But one way or another, they're going to have to vanquish a foe in the SEC championship game. I just don't think Georgia yet has earned the national credit to make it as a second SEC team the way that Alabama got the nod ahead of Ohio State going back to 2017. How would you respond to that?
Well, maybe. But, you know, when you talk about college football playoff, you know, Final Four predictions, you can't factor in landscape, right? Like,
sure.
You can't sit there and say, okay, well, Georgia's not going to get that street cred because we don't know who they're fighting against and we don't know what that resume is, right? So last year is a perfect example of exactly what you meant. Georgia was one of the top four teams in the country last year. They just didn't have the top four resume. I mean, they just flat out didn't, especially considering Oklahoma beat every team on its schedule. It just had to take two times to beat Texas. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is absolutely out there. And if there is a debate between Georgia and somebody else, then they're probably not going to get the benefit of the doubt, like the same benefit of the doubt anyway, as Clemson or Alabama does. But just like I said, for me, the way it worked out, and I didn't even mean to do this, but there were really no other options. It would be a one-loss Georgia that played its way into a loss by winning the SEC East, earning a bonus game. It played its way into its only loss of the season, whereas everybody else has two or more. And, you know, you're not going to take a two-loss Oklahoma or Texas. You're not going to take a two-loss Oregon over a one-loss Georgia that went undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting. Let me transition and talk about something else for a moment. You got a tweet about the change to the SEC schedule for 2020 that I thought was interesting. A little backstory on this. I've been a little bit critical of Georgia's willingness to seemingly cooperate with Auburn for something that it wanted. I won't, you know, relitigate that point for the 9 millionth time. But you said something on Twitter that I thought was really interesting, that the SEC East, due to the fact that a lot of these teams have in-state rivals that are not conference foes, Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, the SEC East race is typically settled well before you get to the second half of the final month of the season. And with this new schedule, that's not going to quite be the case as much anymore. Georgia playing Tennessee late November, for instance. I will admit that's a situation that I hadn't quite thought about. And I guess I would be curious to hear a little bit more of your thoughts on what you think league-wide about the changes to the upcoming schedule.
Yeah, I never really understood why Georgia was willing to cooperate with Auburn on that, because that was really Auburn trying to avoid, you know, what it calls Amen Corner. And then look what happens. The SEC puts LSU right before the Alabama game for Auburn. So go figure. It didn't really work out that well for the Tigers this year. But and maybe that was a concession of some kind. I don't know, that you have to do that one year in order to get Georgia away from that spot. on an annual basis.
Well, not to cut you off, but the one thing I think you and I both would agree on is the SEC is sensitive to the perception right now of what used to be that cupcake Saturday, the week before all the big games. Georgia's playing Texas A&M in that spot this year. I guess it'll be Auburn, LSU, and Alabama playing somebody for 2020. So, whether it's related to this thing or not, I do think the SEC is looking to get rid of that November Saturday where nobody plays anybody. And I'm guessing the TV partners probably strongly suggested, hey, can we get some better games for that weekend?
No doubt. And Cupcake Saturday won't be completely gone in 2020, but because some of those contracts are, you can't break them. But, I think the SEC East specifically, because those four teams play out-of-conference games to finish the season, and usually have cupcake games right before, you're basically conceding the entire division down the stretch if you're the SEC and creating a situation where there really isn't a whole lot of quality programming available. And so you do see more SEC East games late in the year in 2020. And because let's be real, like what Georgia beat Kentucky to win the East on November 3rd, I believe it was. Alabama won the West that day too, but that's unusual from a West perspective, but not an East perspective. I mean, that's typically when the division gets wrapped up anyway. So, I don't know this, for certain, even though I do work for one of the SEC's TV partners, but I would imagine the SEC is like, all right, look, we're not going to put a Kentucky-Mississippi State game or an Ole Miss Vandy game on the second to last week of the season just because it's out there and it's the only conference game. Come on. So, I think that if it was up to me, and I've said this for a long time, if it was up to me, I would make that former Cupcake weekend, Cupcake Saturday before Rivalry weekend, I would make a rule that it's only conference games across the board. You cannot have a contract with any other team on that weekend because that's going to be an SEC weekend. I think they're sort of moving toward that. But since a lot of those contracts were already in place, it's sort of impossible, right? It's one of those things that's going to be a slow developing new trend that hopefully evolves into an actual policy.
Well, Barry, it's always so much fun to talk about college football with you, whether it be looking ahead for a full year, which I never mind doing, or the season that's about to start. We appreciate your perspective, and not only because you picked the Dogs to win it all, we think that you have a great voice around this sport. So we'll look forward to reading a bunch more from you at CBSSports.com and on Twitter at Barrett Salee, and also checking you out on some streaming video stuff here and there as well, right?
That's right, CBS Sports HQ, streaming 24/7, 365 on any device, smart TV, Apple TV, Roku, all that stuff, phone, iPad, you name it. It's what ESPN News used to be until they stopped covering news, so it's good time.
Well, Barrett, it's great to have you on our program. We certainly appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, BH. Hop on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, there's a little Braves reference from Barrett there at the end. I always love to hear that. So, what Barrett said there about, the change of the schedule and how it impacts the SEC East, I think that's really interesting, and I think that's actually a really smart point. And admittedly, even though I'm critical of the move, this is something that Kirby Smart has also, slightly referenced in the past. I was going to play this a little earlier, and I just ran short on time before we brought Barrett on the program. Can I go back and hear Kirby Smart on what he thought about why maybe this schedule change was going to be a good thing? Also kind of slightly referencing something that Barrett just brought up. Here's Kirby Smart.
That's not for me to decide. It's for the SEC office to decide. I think they do a great job working on that. It may bring more bigger factor to the end of the season because the games will be, divisional towards the end. But I think they do a great job of managing that, the SEC office, and they do it way out ahead of time.
So that's spring meetings in Destin. That's why you hear like the cello playing in the background. I believe that's the elevator type music you hear in a lot of these hotels. That's why you hear that underneath Kirby Smart right there. And it would not surprise me at all if the Auburn Georgia change ended up being part of a larger change for the conference. As I said to Barrett a moment ago, I think that some people conflate two different issues. The move of putting, Auburn, LSU right before the Iron Bowl and having Alabama playing a SEC opponent that week as well is about, I think, a criticism from the TV partners about how weak that Saturday had been. And frankly, also a little bit of a sensitivity about the perception of, what we think of as the sports crucial month and the SEC essentially taking a week off. The enhanced SEC East race, given the fact that so many teams have in-state rivals who are not conference foes, is probably a byproduct there as well. But to remind you of what my point has been on this all along, Georgia has dominated the Auburn rivalry. If I was in charge and in control, if I had influence over this decision, my suggestion would be, do not willingly cooperate with a change to a series you've dominated. Now, you may come back and say, well, moving into October, BA is not going to change any of that. You might be right, but I am still, if I'm in charge, not going to cooperate with a series that I've dominated because I don't get enough of value in return. Even if it benefits the SEC financially and it makes the TV partners happy, and by the way, CBS is about to pony up some big money, I think, for a new contract there. That could have been a factor in all this, too. Even if it benefits the league financially, if it doesn't benefit me individually, I am not going to willingly cooperate because I have dominated the Auburn series going back now more than a decade. And you may come back then and say, well, BA, if that be the case, the SEC is still going to change it if that's what they want to do. They don't need Georgia's cooperation to make that change. That might be the case. But are you familiar with the concept of working the refs? Are you familiar with the concept of sometimes you flip out over a bad call as a way of reminding the refs you got a bad call, so maybe you get something later on? And I don't know what that something would be, but everything in life is a negotiation, and this is a negotiation as well. Georgia was cooperative with the back-to-back home games when the league went from 12 teams to 14 teams, and complaining about this, sometimes the squeaky wheel really does get the oil and really does get the fixing. Ultimately, it's probably not that big of a deal, and within a few years, we'll all just sort of be used to this the way that it is. But I think there was a different way for Georgia to handle this. It's obviously potentially a short-sighted opinion on my part because I'm not the guy with the suit and tie on making these tough decisions. But I believe the kind of change that Georgia sees coming to the Deep South's oldest rivalry is the kind of change I would have made them force me to make, not the kind of change I would have willingly made on my own. But we'll obviously have a long time to talk about this subject.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So as we transition to our SEC Through here, first of all, huge thanks to Barrett Sleep for being a part of our program. Check him out at cbssports.com. Always a fun conversation. So I'm going to Georgia practice later on today, and, you know, I was not there on Tuesday. I was warned about how hot it was. Heat index, probably 100 or so. You know, we were outside yesterday at East Lake Golf Club. Got a lot of sunshine on top of the head, and so I said, let me make sure I pack a hat to take with me so I don't get too sunburned on my head. And the one hat that I grabbed to put on was my Callaway Resort and Gardens hat that I bought from the pro shop there after playing that lovely, I don't use the word lovely lightly, golf course there. We played the Mountain View course, and it was so much fun. It's part of the amenities that make Callaway Resort and Gardens just a great summer getaway, but also a great getaway as we kind of head towards the fall. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. We stayed there. My son, believe it or not, last night, this is a true story, said, Daddy, can I have my birthday party at Callaway Resort and Gardens? That's how much my family liked it. So if it's a couple thing, you want to do that, it makes all the sense in the world. The beach is still open, by the way. The lakeside stuff still open right now. If you want to do a couple thing, you can do that. But I can say from a family man's perspective, that's a great place to take family as well. So make sure, if you get a chance, go to Callaway Resort and Gardens. CallawayGardens.com. And as Barrett said, we've had a long season coming up. For Georgia, that includes two bye weeks. Don't let me tell you how to live your life, but go in and check out Callaway Resort and Gardens for one of those bye weeks. For me, that makes a lot of sense. All right, let's talk about a few things here for a moment. There was a weird exchange at Florida this week, and for a second, I'm not going to be a Gator hater. I'm going to try to be somewhat objective about this. So Matt Baker, Tampa Bay Times, some pretty harsh coverage, although potentially fair coverage, of Dan Mullen over what is now a fifth accusation of kind of domestic violence against a Florida player since Dan Mullen's been coached, this involving a player allegedly choking someone who was tutoring him because she took his phone away. Mullen's response to this is pretty terse, saying that this is all being handled internally and kind of questioning of these instances how many of those led to criminal charges. This has the look to some people of being Mullen maybe not taking these accusations seriously enough. My feelings on this are complicated. I think due process is the kind of thing that a lot of sports writers over time have shown they have no concept of and simply don't understand what is a constitutional right. So I think of that in instances like this. But I also think about, from Mullen's perspective here, what kind of looks like an unforced PR error where we obviously know that lots of domestic issues don't lead to criminal charges because oftentimes the subject on the other end of that abuse doesn't want to go down that road for a number of reasons. I think Mullen, with his words, got this wrong. Obviously, none of us know what has happened with some of these Florida players, but Mullen, with his words here, has gotten this one wrong. He comes across as insensitive, and frankly, I think this is only going to cause more problems for him on down the line, but we'll follow it and see where it goes. Weird situation at Tennessee, where they've had more attrition from their roster. Emmett Gooden, pretty good-looking defensive lineman, he suffers an injury. He is now going to be out. And also an offensive lineman who started a good number of games a year ago, Nathan Niehaus, he's decided to voluntarily leave the program, and Pruitt made it very clear this was a voluntary departure. We know how many, on the offensive line especially, how many medical disqualifications Tennessee has had. So for Jeremy Pruitt trying to build up his roster, there's always going to be a natural level of attrition that comes along with that, guys leaving the program. But either through injury or voluntary departures, Tennessee's had even a few more of those than you might think. So that continues. A couple other stories to mention to you here as well. Did you see Dabo Swinney in a little bit of a war of words continuing with Alabama? We know what the Alabama players have said about Clemson, that Georgia was their toughest game. That was taken as a swipe about Clemson. I had a Clemson player come back and say, well, oh yeah, well, Notre Dame was our toughest game. There's been all the talk about the Clemson schedule, and Dabo Swinney essentially said that you know, Alabama, by virtue of the number of points it won its games by a year ago, ought to have been more rested by playing the SEC schedule than Clemson was by having played an ACC schedule that the SEC, in Dabo's mind, is essentially top-heavy. Listen, Dabo's winning argument is to say that he's got a top-fly team. His losing argument, and the thing that makes him look like a fool, is to argue the merits for the ACC. More than one thing can be true at one time. You can have an elite team. Clemson does. An elite team can be can be aided by an easy schedule. That's the situation there. We'll make that your SEC through, and let's check out John Stinchcomb with Own the East right now.
Hey, Dog Nation, I'm Brandon Adams, and certainly Georgia fans are looking forward to 2019 maybe being a year which the Dogs win the national championship. Well, step one towards that is winning the division once again. With that in mind, I'm proud to be with former Georgia All-American John Stinchcomb, and for the third consecutive year, proud to do Own the East, presented by Georgia's own credit union. And John, as Georgia tries to own the East here in 2019 and maybe a whole lot more beyond that, there is a question that comes to mind. What happens if Jake Fromm gets hurt? Is Georgia in a dangerous situation if it were to lose its starting quarterback, given that on paper there is seemingly less depth at that position there has been the last couple of years for the Dogs?
Well, no team wants to lose their marquee quarterback that is a stud. I mean, he's in the national discussion for the Heisman Trophy and one of the top quarterbacks that could possibly come out early and enter the NFL draft. Nobody wants to lose that guy, and Georgia is no exception. Now, for some of the programs, well, unless you're Alabama in the second half of a game, I mean, heck, they love to bring in their second quarterback, don't they?
Seems to.
Yep, and or Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that's worked out well for them. I don't know if Georgia's in that boat, but the good thing news is you've surrounded the quarterback position with incredible talent.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia is deep across the board, and they're able to take some of the pressure off the quarterback. Now, you don't want to see Jake go down, but Stetson, folks are excited about him.
Yeah.
and the security blanket that he provides.
Yeah,
do you want to see him? No.
Right, I think you're right about that. I think Stetson Bennett is a fan favorite. Obviously, this conversation is complicated more because of the fact that Dwan Mathis' status is still somewhat uncertain given the surgery that he's had to go through during the offseason. And yet, we think that Bennett probably has a little bit of a leadership quality. We think that he certainly performed well in Georgia practice before. Georgia players themselves have told us that. So on a short-term basis, Bennett seems to generate enough confidence that people seem to think that if he's got the ball in his hand a little bit, it might not be the worst thing for the Dogs.
There's familiarity with the program. He left and had success when he did. And, when you lose your marquee guy, not a situation you like to discuss often, but when it happens, you want to feel safe. Mm-hmm. You want to feel like we're not putting too much on this replacement. Part of football is next man up. You have to have someone ready to step into those shoes and not have a huge drop off. And Stetson seems to be that guy that could step in and manage a game, and there's confidence from the rest of the team in that.
The other thing is, you mentioned Jalen Hurts earlier. He's not out of Alabama anymore. And for the most part, in this age of the transfer portal, no national championship contender has that kind of quality backup quarterback. Georgia certainly doesn't have the five-star waiting in the wings the way that it seemingly has the last couple of years. So while Georgia is maybe less deep than it used to be at quarterback, so are the other national championship contenders as well.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's the nature of the beast and how it's become a different game. If you're a five-star quarterback, you're not waiting your turn anymore. You're trying to jump in from day one and be the guy. So Georgia's situation is not unique in that there's not two or three deep that you'd feel like could win a national championship off the bus doors when they open. So not unique, but not ideal either.
So certainly depth is a big part of the story. Anytime you're trying to own the East, quarterback's no different. And Jake Fromm, the rest of the Georgia quarterbacks, will get a lot of attention here in 2019. Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Go to georgiasown.org to find out how you can earn 1.25 points for every dollar earned on your Georgia's Own Visa Signature credit card. Also find out there how Georgia's Own Credit Union is celebrating 85 years in business. Website to go to once again, georgiasown.org.
All right, really good stuff. Boy, I tell you what, you'll talk about doing something fun. John Stinchcomb is part of our Own the East, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union today, this time. That has been his insight and his expertise on Georgia football has been a ton of fun. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series. I've got one dropping on the site today involving Georgia running back Zamir White that I'm really eager to share with you. So we'll do that on DogNation.com. And, of course, make this part of what you get a chance to see on Dog Nation Daily here as well. One more story I was going to get to. Speaking of Florida, did you see where Chris Steele transferred to USC, was granted immediate eligibility? I have no idea how the NCAA decides any of this kind of stuff. Fields, Martell get it. Luke Ford doesn't. Chris Steele does. Are they just drawing this stuff out of a hat? For the life of me, I don't get this. One thing I do get is our Gatorator Updater. How about 1,013 days? That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.